Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is On Air Daily News for Tuesday, June 13th, 2023. I'm Naima Lateef, and today we are once again joining the White House for a press briefing with Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre, speaking on current events as many await the president's response to the indictment of former President Donald J. Trump. Also, issues in the news involving this monthly celebration of the LGBTQ community and acts of violence that have been noted, and also this is Black Music Month. So the issues of inclusion are being addressed in today's White House briefing, and we are joining them now as White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre approaches the podium.
Hi, everyone. Good afternoon.
Good
afternoon. Okay, so we're going to get to it. This evening, the president will welcome community leaders, lawmakers, students, educators, and hundreds of others to the White House for a historic Juneteenth celebration concert on the South Lawn. You probably are hearing a little bit of the sound check right now. In 2021, President Biden signed bipartisan legislation establishing Juneteenth as the nation's newest federal holiday since Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day, nearly four decades ago. Establishing Juneteenth as a federal holiday was only the beginning of the Biden-Harris administration's efforts to ensure that America lives up to its highest ideals. Since taking office, a couple of things that the president has been able to accomplish is created a federal government that reflects the diversity of America, strengthened the economy, and lowered the unemployment rate for Black Americans at a historic low to 4.7%, increased access to home ownership, nominated more Black women to federal courts than every president combined. Nearly one-third of judicial appointments are Black Americans. Provided nearly $7 billion in historic resources and support for historic Black colleges and universities, taken action on marijuana reform by pardoning all prior federal offenses of simple possession of marijuana, ensured everyone has access to clean drinking water by replacing lead pipes, and modernizing bridges, roads, ports, and airports as well. Lowered the prices of prescription drugs and energy costs for seniors through the Inflation Reduction Act, restricted the use of chokeholds, and signed an executive order for accountable and effective policing when Senate Republicans blocked legislation from reaching the president's desk, brought together Democrats and Republicans to pass the first major gun safety reform in 30 years to keep our community safe, cut Black child poverty in half as a result of the child tax credit made possible through the American Rescue Plan, and fought for $10,000 in debt relief for all eligible borrowers and up to $20,000 for borrowers who received Pell Grants. Now, as the president has said, it's not enough to just commemorate Juneteenth. To honor the true meaning of Juneteenth, we must not rest until we deliver the promise of America for all Americans. Lastly, I'd also note that the concert celebration takes place during the Black Music Month, where the president will uplift American art forms that sing to the soul of the American experience. Also today, we are announcing a new security assistance package to help meet Ukraine's security and defense needs. The package includes key capabilities such as Bradley infantry fighting vehicles, Stryker armored personnel carriers, artillery rounds, Stinger anti-aircraft systems, Javelin anti-armor system, ammunition to U.S.-provided HIMARS, and more than 22 million rounds of small arms ammunition to help Ukraine retake its sovereign territory. The package also contains additional munition for Ukraine's air defenses to help protect the Ukrainian people. This is the 40th drawdown of equipment from Department of Defense inventories using presidential drawdown authorities for Ukraine, and we appreciate the bipartisan support of Congress, which has made this aid possible. The United States will continue to stand with the people of Ukraine as they courageously defend their sovereignty, their democracy against Russia's aggression. Finally, today's CPI report showed continued progress in our fight against inflation. Annual inflation is now the lowest in more than 2 years and has fallen for 11 months from a peak of 9.1% just last June down to 4% last month. Wages rose over the last year, accounting for inflation. This is especially helping lower income workers who have seen their wages rise faster than others, helping them catch up after decades of widening wage gaps. Energy prices fell 11% over the last year. Gas prices are down by $1.40 from their peak after Putin's invasion, and grocery prices are trending down, with egg prices in particular nearly 30% since January. Of course, there is more work to be done, and the president's agenda is helping lower prescription drug costs, cap insulin, and lower energy bills as well. President Biden's growing the economy from the middle out and bottom up, with more than 13 million jobs created and unemployment under 4% for almost a year and a half. House Republicans, on the other hand, have a different agenda. Their approach is trickle-down approach. Today, they are marking up their TaxCam 2.0, which would give handouts to rich special interests and big corporations that would increase the debt by hundreds of billions of dollars, while also repealing investments that are fueling our manufacturing resurgence, creating jobs, and lowering energy costs for working families. With that, Josh, the floor is yours.
Thanks, Trace. Three subjects. First, since you mentioned Ukraine in your topper, Russian President Vladimir Putin says Ukrainian forces have suffered, quote, catastrophic losses. He says Ukraine lost 160 tanks and over 300 armored vehicles, while Russia lost 54 tanks. Are Putin's statements accurate?
So I'm just going to repeat what the president said during his remarks when you all saw him just moments ago when he was with the Secretary General of NATO. I'm going to leave Ukraine certainly speak to their military operations. That's something that we're going to do from here. As it relates to the comments President Mr. Putin has made, as you know, we don't put a stock in Russia's public assessment, and so I'll just leave it there.
And then the big news of this afternoon, First Lady Jill Biden said it's a little shocking that many Republicans support Donald Trump after his indictment. What has President Biden said? Was he also shocked? Does he agree with his wife?
I'm just not going to comment on anything that's related to the indictment. We're just going to be very mindful here and respect the Department of Justice. Let them do their job.
And then lastly, the Office of Special Counsel has said that your use of MAGA Republicans violated the Hatch Act. What kind of guidance had you previously been given by the White House counsel on that matter?
So let me just lay this down. I'm really glad that you asked the question. I know there's been many news reports on this. So as we've made very clear throughout our time in this administration, that we do everything that we can to uphold certainly the Hatch Act and take the law very seriously. A couple of things that I want to lay out here. So many of you have mentioned with friendly consternation how often we take the Hatch Act, and we follow the Hatch Act throughout these past 2 years. We received a letter from the Office of Special Counsel, which is the independent agency that enforces the Hatch Act, as all of you know, and it communicated it to us that their opinion and is issuing a warning but not taking further action, as you all know by reading the letter and the reports. The White House Counsel's Office is reviewing their opinion and is going to respond to them. So we're certainly not going to get ahead of how the White House counsel is going to respond or what's going to come out from that action. So now if you look at the archived Trump White House website, it contains about nearly 2,000 uses of MAGA to describe policies and official agendas. Congressional Republicans have also used MAGA to refer to policies and official agenda frequently for years now, even clearly before we entered the administration. And what's more, I also want to note that the opinion that you see that was presented by OSC happened just last week, which is it occurred months after the briefing where I made those comments. So basically it is retroactive, right? The actions were retroactive after I had made the comments. So look, when basically what we're seeing by me laying that out is that we did not know their opinion when we were able to use when we were given the green light to actually say the comments that I made. So just want to make that very clear. But again, look, it's going to be reviewed. That's what the White House Counsel is going to do. They're going to have a routine dialogue with OSC, and so I'll just leave it there.
But it sounds like you disagree with the finding. Is that true?
No, what I'm saying is that we got this letter last week, and it was retroactive, right? The letters was retroactive. The comments that I made was months prior, and so we didn't know that was the opinion months prior when it was said. So what I will say now is that the White House Counsel is going to have a routine dialogue like many administrations have in the past with OSC, and certainly not going to get ahead of that. I'm going to let that process move forward.
And just more broadly, since you cite the Hatch Act so often, what is your interpretation of it? What are your limitations?
So look, what I know is as it relates to an ongoing election right now, right, we're talking about 2024, we just are very careful. We are very careful to respect the law, the rule of law. We're very respectful to not speak as a federal employee, to not speak about the election, about candidates in the election, about anything that's related. Anything that you all ask me about the campaign, I'm very often, if not almost every time, refer you to the campaign. As it relates to this specifically, I just laid out, if you look at the archives from the Trump White House website, it contains nearly 2,000 uses of MAGA to describe policies and official agendas, right? And congressional Republicans have used that word multiple times to describe their policies and official agenda as well. I'm not going to get into any back and forth about this. I'm going to let the White House Counsel have their routine conversation with OSD and let them handle it.
Just one more on the Trump indictment, which I know you already spoke about, but you know, it's one thing to not answer questions about the charges and the actual pending case before the DOJ, but what about the substance of these documents? Can you at least share whether President Biden has been briefed on the substance?
I will let my colleagues at the White House Counsel deal with that. I'm just not going to speak to it from this podium.
Welcome to the briefing room.
Thank you, Corrine. Just a little bit of a clarification on the Trump indictment. You have been clear that you don't want to politicize the indictment, but the president's opponents have accused him of weaponizing the DOJ. So just to be clear, can you say categorically that President Biden was not involved or influence at all any of the decisions
in the indictment? Not at all. He was not involved. The president has been very, very clear. The Department of Justice is independent. He wants to restore the independence of the Department of Justice, and that's what you've seen. That is why we have been very, very consistent. When it comes to criminal cases, we just do not comment.
Has the president been briefed on any security concerns around the former president's?
So I was asked this yesterday, so was my colleague from NSC. The Admiral was asked this question when he was at the podium, and he laid out, right, and I laid out, he normally gets an update from his national security team and also his intelligence team on a daily basis, and that's usually where he gets his update. I cannot speak beyond that.
Any additional requests for security?
I can't speak to anything beyond any requests. All I can say is that we are prepared.
Is the assessment of the White House that inflation has finally peaked?
So look, I know the CPI data came out today, as I just laid out this morning. Look, so what I will say is that we're making progress on fighting inflation, and that's good news. That's good news for hardworking families. That's incredibly important that we see that, and we're seeing that in this data. And I kind of said this at the top, but I'll reiterate it here. Annual inflation is at the lowest level that we have seen in more than 2 years. That's since March of 2021, and it has fallen for 11 months. and in less than half of what it was this past June, the June before this one, clearly, and wages has rose over the last year. So all of that is important. Gas prices is down by $1.40. That's because of the work that this president has done. If you think about his investment in America, if you think about his economic policy, how he wants to make sure that we're building an economy that builds from the bottom up, middle out, that is what you've seen. And I have said, and he has said many times, when it comes to his economic policy, lowering costs is his number one priority. So this is important. We are fighting inflation. We're seeing progress. And this is going to be incredibly important for Americans across the country.
So just to continue on inflation, I'll take another one after that. One of the components of the inflation data showed that rent prices are still sticky. They're just not responding the way that you hoped that they had. It's starting to remind some people of the comment that inflation was going to be transitory. So for a long time, the expectation has been that housing prices and rental prices would come down, and they just haven't. Are you starting to get worried that they're not going to come down, and what the implications are, and what can you do?
So, look, we know, and it's a good question, we know housing affordability is a challenge for families. And the good news is that we are starting to see a cooling in housing, in the housing market, so that's incredibly important. And also, that is why the president has taken extra steps, right? You've heard us over the last 2 years talking about the housing supply action plan that the president put forth to help close the housing supply shortfall that we have seen in the last 5 years, making it easier to use the American Rescue Plan funds to increase the supply of affordable housing, which is another way that another part of the president's plan as it relates to lowering costs when it comes to housing. We're dealing with the housing market, releasing a blueprint for renters' bill of rights and a set of federal actions to make the rental market fairer, and calling on Congress to provide additional incentives for housing construction and support low-income families. So, look, we get it. We understand through. Again, the housing market is cooling, so that's important. But the president has taken extra steps over the last 2 years to deal with the affordability aspect as it relates to housing.
So are you considering additional actions since the housing prices don't seem to be responding?
So I don't have any additional actions to announce at this time, but I mean, I just laid out four real constructive, comprehensive, substantive actions that this president has taken over the last 2 years to deal with certainly issues that that American families have to deal with when it comes to affordable housing.
And then on Ukraine, NATO Secretary General Stoltenberg just said that the Ukrainian counteroffensive is making progress. The Ukrainians are making progress, and that's important in terms of strengthening their hands when they get to the negotiating table. Does the White House share his view that the Ukrainians are, in fact, making advances, and can you give us any details?
So, look, I know that President Zelensky has spoken to this. He says the counteroffensives operations have begun, but certainly I'm going to leave that to Ukraine to speak to. That's basically what the president was asked when he was said. Pardon me, when he was asked as it relates to the military operations, we're just going to let them, President Zelensky and his team, speak to that. And look. What we can say is that we know that the Ukrainian people are brave and they are tough. We've seen this the last 15 months. They have been incredibly impressive. We have done everything that we can to make sure that they are successful in the battlefield. And that's not just us. More than 50 countries have come behind Ukraine and supported their efforts, their fight against Russia's aggression, and to fight for their freedom. And so we're going to continue to do that. We know that there are difficult challenges ahead, but we feel that they are prepared. I'm certainly not going to get into military operations or what's going on the battlefield. Again, I'll let Ukraine speak to that.
Okay. I wonder, do you believe that you violated the hatch with those comments about MAGA Republicans?
So what I can say is, at the time, I was given the sign-off, right, to use that terminology, and I said this just moments ago. The letter that we received was from last week. We received that letter for something that I said months ago, so it was retroactive, if you will. I'm just not going to get into giving my opinion or thoughts. I'm just going to lay out the facts for all of you. You all are going to report this and have reported it, and we're going to have a routine conversation, not myself, but clearly the White House counsel is going to have a routine conversation with OSC to talk about this. So I'm just going to leave that there.
The term that you, but also the White House press office, used a lot in statements and everything else. So are you guys going to continue to use that terminology going forward?
So, look, I'm not going to get ahead of what the outcome of this might be. The White House counsel certainly is reviewing the opinion, and they will have a routine conversation with OSC, as they should. This is going to be an ongoing process. As you stated, we have used this term many times before. It's nothing new in the context, and the way we use it is in the context of talking about their policies and in talking about their values. That's how we have used this term, and so I will, I'll leave it there, and they'll continue to have a conversation.
I know that the White House Counsel's Office sometimes conducts informational sessions with staff to educate them about the Hatch Act, what the guardrails are, et cetera. When's the last time that you participated in one of those, and do you intend to get some kind of refresher?
So I don't have any refresher to speak to at this time, but yes, I've sat in many conversations that have been held by the council on the Hatch Act specifically. I know I did one recently this year. I just don't have the exact date in mind.
And then last question. I wonder, as it relates to the case that President Trump is facing, is there any world in which President Biden would consider pardoning the former president?
I'm just not going to speak to that. No comment. Go ahead, Joe. And I'll come to the back. Go ahead, Joe.
Thanks, Corrine. Senator Bernie Sanders is saying that he won't move forward with a president's nominee for the National Institutes of Health or any health nominees for that matter until the administration puts forward a plan to lower prescription drug costs. What is your reaction? And that the administration has been in contact with his office.
Yeah, so look, we see Senator Sanders as a friend, and he has been certainly very a partner, very helpful to us in pushing the president's agenda and lowering costs for Americans. And so we share Senator Sanders' concerns on pricing. That's why the president signing the Inflation Reduction Act was so important. That was a critical component, if you will, of the Inflation Reduction Act, which is lowering costs for Americans, putting a cap on insulin for our seniors. And so it was a consequential piece of that law. And so, look, we're always looking for ways to continue to lower costs for Americans, and we look forward to working with the senator to get our nominees forward and confirm, certainly. But this is something that we agree with the senator on, making sure we're doing everything that we can to lower drug costs. But again, Inflation Reduction Act, incredibly important. When you're talking about Medicare being able to be able to lower costs and be given that ability to do so, that's important. Insulin costs for our seniors capped at $35, that's important. And so clearly the president and the senator are on the same page on this, and so we'll continue to have conversations with them.
Thanks, Corrine. There are reports that the Labor Management has agreed to a cooling off period in the West Coast ports after a meeting with Acting Secretary Sue. I'm wondering if you can confirm that development and if you're encouraged by it in the White House.
So a couple of things I want to give an update. I know I was asked about this, I believe, at the end of last week. So as you know, we're monitoring this very closely. We know that the parties in the negotiation have overcome some sticky points already and are continuing to address the most difficult issues right now. And so we're encouraging all parties to continue to work in good faith and do that in a certainly in a mutually beneficial resolution to ensure that workers get their fair benefits, quality of life, and wages that they deserve. That's why the Acting Secretary, Julie Hsu, is currently on the West Coast meeting with all parties, encouraging them to reach a resolution. And so she has invaluable expertise working closely with these parties as the former California Secretary of Labor and as Department of Secretary of Labor. Certainly I'm not going to get ahead of conversations and where they are currently, but we're going to continue to in good faith for parties to stay at the table and have a conversation so that the workers can certainly get fair benefits and a better outcome.
Senator Manchin said he's opposing Jared Bernstein's nomination to lead the CEA. Do you have a response to that? And is the White House concerned that would endanger his chances of confirmation?
So I can't say it better than nearly every living economist who led the CEA under Republican administration. And this is the quote. Dr. Bernstein has been a respected voice in economic policy circles for decades. He has established a reputation for producing informative, data-driven analysis and developing creative policy ideas, end quote. So we look forward for Jared's swift confirmation. And this, again, this is coming from Republican administrations, the quote that I just laid out. And so we are going to continue to work to get Jared confirmed.
Yes, thanks, Green. So we have 4% inflation, CPI inflation overall. That's on top of the other inflation increases that we've seen for the past 26 months or so. There's no overall price reductions. What's the president's plan to reduce prices for all Americans, not just a certain category of people that fit certain criteria?
I think everything that the president has done, all of his economic policies, and you think about these historic legislation, that's for all Americans. That's to make sure that we continue to lower costs, whether it's healthcare, whether it's energy, whether it's, not just that, but also creating good paying jobs. That's to make sure that we build an economy that doesn't leave anybody behind. That's why when we say from the bottom up, middle out, that's not trickle down. That's not a trickle-down approach that we have seen for many decades. That's a different approach so that we do include all Americans. We include hardworking working families that, again, have been left behind. And so the president is a president for people living in red states and blue states, for all Americans. He has said that. He has been very, very clear about that. He knows what he is supposed to do and how he is supposed to lead this country, and that's what he's been doing.
But since the president took office, real wages are down 3.4%. Inflation is up. So how does that not amount to
I just laid out when your colleagues asked me about inflation, I just said one thing is that we're making progress. We are fighting inflation. If you look at the last 11 months, it has fallen. It has fallen and is less than half of what it was this past June, the June clearly before this month. And so that is important. We're seeing progress. We're seeing the costs. We're seeing lowering costs. I just talked about eggs, how much it fell, and over 13%. That's important for everyday Americans. And so, look, we're going to continue to do the work. We understand the work continues. We understand that Americans are still hurting. But the president has always put lowering costs at the center, at the top, I should say, when it comes to his economic policy. And that's what you're going to continue to see. Okay, Sebastian.
Thank you. One on NATO. Sweden yesterday said it was going to extradite a guy that Turkey wants. He's got links to the PKK. He's done other things. So does the administration see as I was about to say full?
Oh, gosh.
a resolution of this dispute between Turkey and Sweden maybe in time for the summit?
So a couple of things. So Sweden has fulfilled its commitments. They made under the trilateral memorandum of agreement, agreed with Finland and Turkey on the margins of the NATO summit, and they did that in Madrid just this past year, or last year, in 2022. This includes Sweden's recent passage of enhanced counterterrorism legislation. So look, Sweden is a strong, capable defense partner that shares NATO's values and will strengthen the alliance and contribute to the European security. So we believe, and you've heard from this president multiple times, that we believe Sweden should become a NATO member as soon as possible. That is what the president has said. He has shown his support. That is what we've seen from Congress as well. And so, look, we're going to continue to stay steadfast on that. Look, we're going to continue to be hopeful. As you know, this is a president that's incredibly hopeful and positive about these things. So, again, they are strong, capable defense partners that share the values of the NATO alliance. And so I think that's important.
And that was White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre speaking on current achievements in economic progress and promoting diversity. And, of course, many await President Biden's response to the indictment of former President Donald J. Trump, and Jerry is not going to comment on that ongoing case. It is a legal matter for the Department of Justice. You've been listening to On Air Daily News for Tuesday, June 13th, 2023. I'm Naima Latif. Join us again tomorrow and every day, Monday through Friday, 1 p.m. Central, 2 p.m. Eastern. And you can always hear us in the archive at www.blogtalkradio.com/onairdailynews. Until tomorrow, continue to enjoy the rest of your day.